forever. it's just so cool how God puts the body together and he does these things for us. So I am so excited and so thankful to be here today and to get to share with you. I've been kind of dreaming about this for a couple months and all these things stirring in my heart about what to share, what to share. I mean, what could you really share? Let's see. Let's pick something. And so we've been talking this whole time about Jesus and the name of Jesus. And yesterday, Kevin was so masterful in explaining about how Jesus and God and the Spirit work together. So what I want to share today is about not the name of Jesus as much as his role as a shepherd. And I think the goal that I have for you is to see not only what Jesus is doing and what God does, but also what we are supposed to do. And the idea of shepherding, we're going to get to as the morning goes on about how can we be a shepherd? How can we be a shepherd to people? And definitely God has called pastors, you know, very specific people to be shepherds to the body as a gift to the body. But he's also called all of us to this ministry of shepherding. And this is what I want you to see as we go along. But first, I want to talk to you about the name Jesus. Okay. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I mean, we say it over and over again. But in Aramaic, his name is actually Yeshua. And I want to teach you how to pronounce it because a lot of people pronounce it in many different ways. Like Yeshua, and they have the emphasis on the end of it. But the last letter of his name actually is a letter that it you're supposed to just kind of stop in the back of your throat and go. It's not really a sound. It's not an ah sound. It's a. And so I want you to try saying it because it's really fun to practice this. It's not Yeshua. It's Yeshua. Okay, so wait. 1, 2, 3. Yeshua. It's so beautiful, actually, because when you say it like that, what you're meaning is when the angel came and told Joseph and Mary what his name was going to be. He said his name's going to be Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins. And the whole idea of the name Jesus is that he is a deliverer. He's the savior, right? He's the one who actually rescued us out of this world and gave us this amazing life to live. But when we say his name, the thing is that God said that name was going to be above every other name and that everything had to bow to that name. Everything. Does that leave anything out? No, right. Everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. So I've been seeing that not only his name of Yeshua, but all of the names and titles that he has are very parallel with God, but they also reveal what he is doing today. So if you have a question about, you know, not only who Jesus is, but what is he actually doing right now, then you can look at his titles and they reveal his character. They reveal who he is, but also what is he doing? What is he doing right now? You know, I want to have a relationship with God and with Jesus right now. And so in order to understand that, I need to know what is he doing, you know, so I can be a part of it and understand it and grow with it. So I'm going to be talking about him as a shepherd. And this is a favorite topic of mine, but Both God and Jesus are shepherds. Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is my shepherd. But then Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. So they are not doing anything outside of each other. they are the same in that sense, where God shepherds and the Lord shepherds, and they do it by way of the Spirit. That's why, you know, what Kevin shared yesterday was so powerful, because the question is like, is God doing it, or is it the Lord doing it, or is it the Spirit? And you just go, yes, all of them. They work together. They don't do anything outside of each other. And that's why you can say Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Lord. You could say the Lord told me. You could say God told me. And it's all true. So it's the same thing with the shepherd. It's the point is now to let's look at what is a shepherd and what does a shepherd do? Because they both do it. Okay. I wrote this book. It's called The Fence of Salvation. And I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, I got really excited about learning what the old pictograph letters that are the precursor for all the Semitic languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, all of them, are derived from this original alphabet. And each letter, on the back of it, you can see all the pictures, but each pictograph represents something from everyday life that became later, as it developed, it became the alphabet. So even the name alphabet that we have right now, Aleph and Beth are the first two letters of this old alphabet. And the Aleph is a picture of an ox, and it means a strong one. And the Beth, or the Bet, is a picture of a house. And they had a one-story house, so it looked like this, with the courtyard in the middle. And that was a picture of the house. So the letter B, or Beth, means house or family. So then you put them together, it spells actually God, Av, the strong one of the family. And that's how these word pictures work. And they're really simple, but once you know what the meaning of the letter is, or the pictograph, then you can put all kinds of words together that are often very, very difficult to explain. So some of the ones I'm going to share today are about peace, about the shepherd, about reconciliation. And those are concepts that are like, if I just ask you, can you give me a definition of peace? You kind of go, well, absence of strife, you know, some kind of nice fuzzy feeling inside, or, you know, it's our vocabulary in English does not have this kind of pictorial way of describing things. And that's why when I first started studying Aramaic, I got so excited, because to me, it just painted these pictures that were so real, and it made things so vivid that I just got so excited. I said, I want to know more about this. And then it just kind of led me on this whole journey. When I first started studying it, it's one of those things where you go, I didn't know this was going to be my life's work, right? I just wanted it. I was interested in it. It was fun. It was so cool. And I wanted to tell everybody about it, you know? And it just kind of mushroomed into this, well, I want to know more. And how do you study the grammar? And where do you go to do that? And there were no books at that time to study it, you know? When I first learned, I had a Xerox copy of a lexicon and a text that you could look up the verses. And it took me, the first time I did a word study, I did it on righteousness. It took me 3 months to look up every verse and look at the word and go, where is that word? I don't know. I don't see it. I look at all these squiggly letters. They're amazingly horrible to read, you know. But gradually, you know, it became easier and easier. And that's why I got this passion later on to produce books and a way for people to study this language where they didn't have to know the grammar. They didn't have to understand and spend years and years and years trying to figure out, you know, how to even read it. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the story of the background of how I even got into it. But when I started looking at these word pictures, at the pictographs, it was a whole nother level of understanding. And I felt like it's been a really tremendous way to communicate to people, especially just difficult concepts. And so even the idea of shepherding and a shepherd, it's not a common thing in our culture. You know, we don't have shepherds out there taking care of sheep that we could observe. And it's not part of our everyday life. But it was part of the everyday life of the people that lived in Israel and in the Bible lands, right? So they understood what a shepherd was because they could observe it. What we have to do is we have to go and learn about it and see, okay, why does God call himself a shepherd? Why does Jesus call himself the good shepherd? And so by looking at this word picture, so I'll tell you what it is in just a second, that it enables us as Western people who live in a totally different culture where, you know, we have concrete for our pastures and to put ourselves into a different way of thinking. And so the word picture, drum roll, okay, all right, it is what comes from the man watching. So the man in this case is God and the Lord. They're the ones that are watching. They see. So a shepherd is first of all a watcher. They're watching, they watch over a flock. And the other aspect of word pictures is that there is always an action under every verb. There's an action that underlies every single verb. So in this case, to shepherd is the verb, okay? And the actions underneath it are to feed, to tend, and to watch. So I already told you about the watching part, right? But now to feed and to tend, those are a combination of things where the shepherd actually leads a flock to a place of pasture and quiet waters and all these cool things. But what does he do when he gets there? Like he leads the sheep to this pasture, and then his job is to tend and to feed them. So the tending has to do with all these really cool things like find the right water to make sure that every little sheep is all healed up. You know, they don't have any scratches on them. They can lie down. There's all kinds of aspects of tending that goes beyond actually just feeding. Like, here's the grass, you know, eat it. And I think it's so interesting. It's like brings up the question of, well, why does God compare us to sheep? Why are we called, you know, why is this used in the word that we are like sheep? All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And you go, but I'm not a sheep. But, oh, you're going to see, actually, we really are a lot like sheep. But why are we called sheep? Well, sheep don't have any kind of way in their physical makeup. Like they don't have horns or big claws like bears or teeth like lions, or they don't have anything to protect themselves. They're very vulnerable because they don't have any of those things. And what they do too is they look at things like say there was a wolf coming and they just freak out. You just go, ah, I don't know what to do. And they freeze or they run like crazy, like just take off. And they don't know how to deal with danger. They need to have someone or some kind of protector to tell them what are you supposed to do about if a wolf comes? Or what are you supposed to do if, you know, your baby is being grabbed by the lion, you know? And so that's also why they need somebody to protect them. And then another thing about sheep, and this is so parallel to us, I think, is that they have trouble focusing on anything beyond the end of their nose. Like, where is the next patch of grass that I need to eat? I'm like, see, it's all down here. Like, I'm eating. This is my life. See, and they're focused on themselves and how they're going to get what they need. And that is so typical of us. We're as human beings, we just have a tendency to be extremely selfish and also very focused on what we need to have, what I need. I need water. I need grass. Right? And they're not looking at the other sheep around you going, how can I help you get some water? Oh, like, you need water too? That doesn't matter. Okay, they also tend to wander a lot and not really know where they're going. if you have a bunch of sheep, even if you have seen some sheep out in a pasture, they wander around like, oh, I think I'll go over here. Oh, I think I'll go over here. Oh, maybe over there is a lot better. Oh, you're here too? Oh, really? They just wander. They don't have a focus. And without God, see, and without the Lord being our shepherd and all the things that he has given to us, we wander too. We don't know what we're doing and we don't have a direction. So that's why we need a shepherd. And also, they're very fearful creatures. They spook at the slightest thing that's going on. And I think that's pretty typical too of people. They tend to, ever heard of a sheep like, bah, 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 right? Okay, well, I picture it like that's what people do when they don't know what they're doing, but they're afraid. And so they just keep going, bah, 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 see, bah, bah, bah. I mean, they don't know even what they're talking about. So I am trying to just paint the picture of why we need a shepherd, okay? And so I want you to look at Psalm 78, because David was a wonderful example of a shepherd. And this is one of the first places that talks about how a shepherd would lead people or tend people or feed them. And in verse 70, it says, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, because David was a shepherd when he was young, right? And so he learned this stuff firsthand. He took him from the sheepfolds, and from following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. And this is how he did it. He did it with an upright heart. He shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand, is what the ESV says. But what that means is, it's the word for understanding. The first thing I want us to see is that a shepherd understands his sheep, but he has to have a pure heart, be upright in heart. And the main thing that he uses to feed the sheep with is understanding. It solves all those different situations, like understanding where the wolves are, understanding where you should go, understanding where the water is, understanding all kinds of things. And without that as the foundation, then you can see whether they're a good shepherd or not a good shepherd. There's another verse in Jeremiah 3, verse 15, where God told Israel that he was going to send them shepherds. And he says in verse 15, he says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. After whose heart? God's heart. Who will feed you, that's the word shepherd, they will feed you with knowledge and understanding, is what the ESV says. So again, it's like an understanding, but this time this word means wisdom. And what a shepherd does is he tends or he feeds his people with knowledge and with wisdom. Does that remind you of some manifestations? Okay. What the first part of the manifestations of the Spirit is word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Those two things are key elements of being able to be tended. There's another really beautiful verse in Isaiah 40. I love this one. Verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. For behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. It's talking about God, right? God will tend, will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So he gently leads. Well, when I first read this verse and learned about it, I was studying about the shepherd and what he wore. And he always had a big mantle on, and he carried a club and staff. But the mantle had a kind of a pocket sewn in the front of it. So I wore this so I could demonstrate a little bit. It would fold over, right? And then it was sewn on just so that it would stay. But then it had openings on both sides of this sort of pocket. And when it says that he would gather the lambs into his bosom, here's a baby lamb. He's sick. He's crying. So he reached down, gather him up. He'd stick his little head inside the pocket. So his head was sticking out this way and his legs were dangling out that way. And then he would carry that lamb around, put oil on his head if it needed to, pat him a little. But he felt safe because he was right next to the heart of the shepherd. And the shepherd was holding him like that. And then the shepherd could still watch over all the rest of the flock because he didn't have to actually hold him in his arms. He was holding him in his pocket, the pocket of his mantle. And when I first learned that, I was just so blown away. Probably, I don't know, maybe even 15 years ago or something, I was learning about this. And I at that time, you know, I think there was just a lot of stress or something going on in my life. And I was like, Lord, I want to go in your pocket. Can you take me up in your pocket, please? You know, and then I felt him like really lift me up and set me in there. And that whole day, you know, just felt like I was walking around with him carrying me. And ever since then, every time, you know, I do have, you know, times when I get agitated or something, just like these little sheep, then I ask the Lord, can you take me up in your pocket for a while? You know, because I just want to be close. I want to feel safe. And then this was really funny. One day I was, I don't know what was going on. I was agitated about something or whatever. And I was thinking, I need to go in the pocket. It's time for me to go in the pocket. And I'm like, how come I don't feel very good? Because I'm not in the pocket. And all of a sudden I heard this voice going like, you have to let me pick you up. Because I was going, let me in the pocket, please. And I was like, oh, that is such a good lesson. Could you please pick me up and put me in the pocket? Sure. Now, the coolest thing of all, okay, when you talk about the Lord being a shepherd and God being a shepherd, is that he's a shepherd for every one of us. How many billion Christians are there around the world? He picks each one like a little lamb. It says the Lord is my shepherd, right? And we make it really, really personal. And that's important to do. But he's our shepherd. And because he gave us the Holy Spirit, and it is a way for us, for him to communicate to every single person all at the same time. So he does this for every individual in the whole body of Christ all the time. And that's why it's such a beautiful analogy. I don't know. Anyway, you can think about your local fellowship like a flock where, you know, every big group of sheep together, and we have, you know, we have Bart, and then we have Wilma, and we have Baba, and we have Johnny Jump Up, and we have all these personalities in this little flock, right? But the way I want you to look at it this morning is how we are part of this huge flock. And the amazing part about God and Jesus being shepherds are that they tend and feed and take care of the entire body of Christ all the time, as though each one was the only one. That's phenomenal. So, in order to understand what a good shepherd does, you have to kind of look at what a bad shepherd is. And there's a couple passages. One is in Zechariah 11:16. And there's phrases in here that talk about the bad shepherd. And what you have to do is just turn them around so that you see what a good shepherd would actually do. So verse 16. Yeah. Starting in verse 16. For behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hooves. Who's like, oh, was there really shepherds like that? Yes, there were. But if you turn around the phrases, then it's care for those being destroyed. So King James says that you visit the ones who are cut off or the ones who are perishing. If you take care of and visit someone, you're not just visiting them for 5 minutes. You visit them. You care for them. And that's what a good shepherd does. The second phrase is seeking the young. And the young means those who are scattered. Was it Brant who was speaking just earlier? Yes. How you feel lost. you know, without God, we're lost. We're scattered. And the shepherd goes and seeks those who are scattered. And once he seeks them, what he does, Jesus came to seek those who are lost, right? What does he do when he finds them? He brings them to the pasture so he can keep on feeding them. The next phrase is about heal the broken or heal the maimed. A bad shepherd doesn't do that, but a good shepherd will. They'll grind up broken bones. They'll put oil on the head. Sheep are notorious for going and getting burrs in them. You know, my daughter has a dog who is a mutt. He's a wonderful dog, but he goes up on our hill behind our house, and it's like every burr and every piece of scrap grass or whatever is just like a magnet to him. And he comes back down and he's going, and you look in there and there's like six burrs in there. It's like, how'd you get that? That's what sheep happens to sheep too, is that they're like a magnet for all these crazy things to happen to them. Can you relate? Okay, that's the point. The last phrase is about nourishing the healthy. And I think that's a really cool one too, because you think about the shepherd as always healing or seeking the lost or doing all this other stuff, but their other job is to actually nourish the healthy ones, like to help them grow. Because not every sheep is a mess, although they're kind of messy. But once you get healthy, then they need to just grow and produce and be able to be nurtured too. And the King James says to feed the standing still. So a sheep that is standing also needs to be tended. So we never stop needing the shepherd, ever. Isn't that cool? I just love this stuff. So there's those four things. The shepherd's job: he cares for the perishing, he seeks the scattered, he heals the broken, and nourishes the healthy. Now, does that kind of sound a little bit like when Jesus stood in Nazareth and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, preach forgiveness." He said he was anointed. He was Christ. He was anointed to do those things. And we have Christ in us, right? Okay, so we are also anointed to do these things. So the last thing right now that I want to do is just read you Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it from the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, because I just think it's a really, really beautiful way to express it. And you picture in your mind, okay, as I'm reading it, that it's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay. Make this really personal, that he's my shepherd. But also think and start thinking about the Lord is our shepherd. Okay? Right? "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows." That's why I wore this today, because to me it represents all these, the flowers and the meadow. "He lets me rest in green meadows." It says, "He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He causes me to lie down where there's flowers and green grass and beauty," and just like this is. "And he leads me beside peaceful streams." And that literally means waters of quietness. And I'm going to talk a little bit more after we come back from the break about the water and why is the water important and stuff like that. But he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I can go in the pocket anytime I want to and be comforted and protected. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. And oil always in the word represents the spirit, right? You know, our heads are anointed with oil, saturating our entire body with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. My cup overflows with blessings. Just, you can meditate on that one, just that one line for a long time. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about more about what the shepherd does and how we can do it and how we can use it in our prayer life. And we can use the name of the shepherd to get answers to the prayers that we need along these lines. So God bless you.